Welcome along to the last hour of the 9 till Noon show for this week. And for this hour, we're going to, I suppose, look at all things entertainment. And when we talk about entertainment, all things that you enjoy, we're going to have a bit of focus on what's on the telly. We're going to talk about what's happening on the radio, podcasts, stuff. Things just filling to Michael sat down. Good morning, Michael. Lenny.
Good morning, Greg Hughes. Nice job.
Good to have you in for doing the rabbit. Always a pleasure to have you. Well, I suppose it's really a pleasure for you to have me here.
Of course, always a pleasure.
This is just a brief 1 hour turning the tables.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Right. Okay. Interesting first hour. The one thing about listening to this show is you probably don't never know. You don't really know necessarily what you're going to get. I never thought I'd be broadcasting from the front seat of a car, but anyway, there you've done it.
A broadcast.
walking through Ards Forest. Now we've been in cars. It's all go.
It's all change.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Right, okay. Now I'm going to start with something from us because this is, I think, actually really quite exciting. There's a couple of things going on here. Of course, we've got Michael Leddy, who has written a radio play for us. But also, obviously, it's off the back of great success that you're having with on the circuit too, which is fantastic. But it's also great to see local radio supporting productions from people like Michael. And that brings us to a 7-episode radio play. Who wants to talk about it? Michael,
well,
you've written it.
I'll start off and give the background of it, if that's okay, and then I'll leave Michael to describe it. So we have done a few bits and pieces, and some people might have been involved. We did some of the Brendan Behan ones with the Literary Arts Festival. We did the play with them last year. And it turned out so good that I was really happy with it. And I was chatting away to Michael, and I kept saying to him, I love a radio play. I remember back in the day when we used to be listening to stuff on the radio. I still have relatives that listen to The Archers in the UK and love it. It's been going on, I'd say, it must be 50 or 60 years, The Archers now. And I just think there's something about a well-done radio play that really engages the audience, because the beauty of radio is that it really taps into your imagination. So you can never tell. It's kind of like reading with your ears, in the sense that you're not seeing anything. So you're picturing what the characters look like. You're picturing what the scene
that
they're in.
It's like if you're reading something, you're creating the voices almost of the characters yourself. And in a radio play, you're guessing what some of the principles, you imagine what some of the principles look like. And
you've got the whole, like, what do they look like? What is the area like that they're in? You know, where the scene is set, what is it like? You know, is it moving so it can be really engaging on a much deeper level even than, to my mind, sometimes that television can be, because television is giving you all of the information. It's not sort of letting you engage in the story as much as it can with radio.
Now, I know we've done this stuff before. It's just lovely to see on a sheet of paper, looking at podcasts, Spotify, BBC Player, Highland Radio. You know that this is a really unique piece coming directly from us, which I think is great.
Well, I'm hoping now that it's going to be something that we do regularly now that I've tagged Michael in. But as I was saying, Michael and I were chatting away about it, and then he went, oh, I might be able to do that. Yeah. So I, of course, went, ha, ha, ha. I doubt it.
Yes. And here we are at Ballyglisane.
And here we are. I said, Brand, do 3 or 4 episodes. And here we are now with a 7-episode arc. We're trying to think of a best way to a word that kind of describes the story. And it's kind of a murder mystery, but it's not a murder mystery. It's not just a murder mystery. To be honest, it kind of reminds me a little bit more, if you're going to be thinking about a murder mystery, is more like a kind of a Midsummer Murders or a Vera or something like that, where not only do you have one storyline, you have 6 or 7 storylines that are going through it. And it's really about the characters and about...
Very much so.
It's like we talk about sort of what the likes of Netflix and then Prime and other streaming platforms brought to us. Sometimes it works very well and sometimes it doesn't, but... over a longer format, you have opportunity for character development, don't you?
Yeah, yeah,
or
you do.
Opportunity for a bit more backstory in the characters, right? So you could probably knock it out in two or three a story. I'm not saying this.
I agree. Yeah,
I want to put it on television and all. But what people want now is a little bit more too. You want to become slightly more invested in something. Yeah. So, is it a drama?
Yeah, it's a drama series with some comedic elements. Like, obviously, some parts of what happens will be funny, will be amusing. But it's a drama series with many different storylines and about 11 main characters.
So it's based in Donegal?
It's based in a village, small town, I suppose is the best way to put it, a small town somewhere in Donegal. And we follow the lives of these people in that town. Now, there is a murder mystery storyline, an investigation that plays out across the 7 episodes. But as with classic primetime dramas like Knots Landing or Falcon Crest, while they did have a murder mystery element almost every season, there are a lot of other things happening in those shows. So the same thing is true with Ballyglisane. We're jumping from house to house, as it were, and we're listening in on the conversations. And some
from
people,
a writing perspective, right, when you've got 11 main characters, you know, an arcing story.
Yes.
But also stuff that's happening to those characters within the episodes, right? Is that easy to write? It's never going to be easy for me to write. I couldn't, but you're involved in this area, right?
So,
do you storyboard? How do you?
I blocked it out. That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
I blocked it
out.
You're
not the first person to say that.
No, you're. I blocked
it. Compilation.
I blocked it out. I approached it as if it was 7 one-act plays, right. 1-hour plays. So it took me about a year and a half to put it all together because I had to invent the people and figure out who each one of them was. And then I wrote a separate sheet for each character and I picked out the 8 defining moments in their arc. So we take a fictional, say if it was a character called Greg, for instance, I might say, right, who's Greg? And then I would pick out where he starts off and where he finishes. Mm-hmm. And I'd map out his storyline from beginning to end as if it was 8 scenes playing out. And then I would move on to another character, say Fionnuala, and I would do the same thing with her, looking for what are the obvious crossovers. Are they a married couple? Are they antagonists? Are they fighting over ownership of a business or something? And then I would play that out. So when I had all the characters done that way, and I knew what was going to happen to them all the way through, only at that point, having worked through, this is through the October, November, December of last year, I did that. But I didn't start writing the scripts until February of this year. But by the time I was sitting down to write the scripts, I knew everything was going to happen to the people.
Great.
But I hadn't written anything yet.
Yeah, when you need that clarity as well at the time and then tease around it. Right, okay. And the style of it is, because we talk an awful lot about how stories are told, did you go for the beginning, the middle and the end? That's really breaking it down to its most simple elements, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, by the time we get to the last episode, things are resolved or questions are answered.
Yep.
Is that what you want? Is that what we get? Is that what you want?
You do, yeah. By the time you get to episode 7, all of the arcs are resolved. Everything is left in a good place. But it's designed so that if Fionnuala and Linda say to me, can we keep going with these people for like another 7 episodes?
Let's not pull the curtain back too far.
It could happen.
Yeah, it could happen.
But it's resolved.
He's hoping to get paid the next time.
But there's no, like, it wouldn't be fair to deliver 7 episodes and then not answer questions.
The
like,
one
you
thing
have
you
to
can't say about Fionnuala is that she's any different on the radio than
she's the same.
Off air.
She's the
quite
same.
Literally.
The same.
You've done it for free.
You've done it, yeah.
You might get paid the next time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think so.
I kind of goaded him into it more than anything else. And then he did it. I sort of got, I do feel
Wait
guilty
till you get
about
my
it.
Election coverage bill.
I know.
Do you know
every
all
time
that money I saved you in the locals?
I know. I've heard.
Yeah.
I know. I've been on calls already.
Trust
all
me,
over the
I'm,
place.
I'm modest. Right, come here, Fionnuala. It's great.
No.
It's great to have got this together.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
to be honest, I did actually
in
goad him into it. To be honest,
yeah.
I was like, oh my god, this is me. So I love this, and he was like, no,
Fionnuala, that was the night we went to see.
Don't speak to me for 1 second.
I can do it.
I'm also in it. Carry on.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
No, absolutely.
Kept speaking over me.
Because we haven't even said that. It's a, to be honest,
well,
it's
now you see, I wanted
so
to say
good.
There was a special guest star. I was going to say there was a mysterious.
Am I still in it or did I?
This is where we have a very awkward conversation, Greg. It was time. Time was the problem. No, I was going to say there's a very special guest star who comes in, but
To be honest, I said it to Michael because I've always thought it would be something that would go down well here. We have a huge listenership here in Donegal, and we have a lot of people who feel that Highland Radio is a companion to them as well. And I was like, you know, in the wintertime, it's lovely to have something to be looking forward to. I always remember, you know, when we were younger, you'd have the TV programme that you had specific night that, you know, used to watch Lost on a Monday or whatever.
I call it appointment radio, appointment TV.
I just think we'd love to have something like that. It just exceeded all of my expectations. Brilliant. It's so good and it's full of...
Did you go in with very low expectations, knowing me as you do?
Listen.
Medium expectations.
I got to say... Well, no, I got to say one thing.
We're trying to sell this.
What I will say, though, is I reached out to some of the most talented local actors.
Oh, they're amazing.
But I reached out to people across multiple different groups, multiple different experiences, and they brought their A game and then some. And that's fantastic. What makes it so good to listen to.
So it's on Wednesdays after the 8 p.m. news. I can presume we're going to podcast it, are we? Are we going to podcast it weekly?
Yeah, it's going to be available on listen to from our website. We're going to be sending out links and things like that through our social media. So as soon as it goes on air, you'll be able to listen to it. And then also it'll be available there for...
Because as
God
we
forbid
talk about
anybody misses the initial one.
Because we talk about TV shows, so we're not sort of changing our angles on it, right? Sometimes some people want that weekly experience. They don't want to just, you know, and so that's there from a radio perspective. Just mentioning podcasts, by the way, there's lots of stuff available on the Listen Back section. And this is where this will live. I'll just give listeners a run through, if you don't mind, what's there for people that aren't familiar, right? It's on our website, highlandradio.com. The Score was broadcast on Thursday, for an example. You can podcast that on your leisure. The DL Debate, this is just sport, is there from Monday night. You can watch that back. I had a great chat with Dr. Joe Kelly about some letters and wrote by a John O'Donovan back in the 1830s as part of our Talking History podcast. That is there as well for you to listen back at your leisure. Staying with news and elections, we've got two election podcasts up there. One is Paddy Rooney and John McAteer supposing about the outcome of the election. And we also had four students in studio where they talked about their voting intentions now, what might swing it or what have you. So that's just a small sample. And the news is put up there as a podcast for you every evening as well. That's just a small example of some of the on-demand stuff that we have for you to listen to at your leisure. And it's going to be further bolstered by a brilliant radio play by our own Michael Letty called Bally Glissane, a 7-episode drama series set in a small town somewhere in Donegal, which normally means it should resonate with the listener, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it
doesn't have to be your town, but you're going to pick up on familiarities, let's put it
hopefully,
that way.
Hopefully, yeah. That's a small town life and kind of plays into that idea that kind of everybody kind of knows what's going on, and if something is happening across the street, it's like... Oh, who's your one? How come she's chatting to him or whatever?
And it's full of the characters. Like there's one of the characters is in it, and she's a complete horror. beautifully done, I have to say, by
Did
the
you
actress.
Based any
but
characters on horror.
Oh, better not be. I didn't even think of that.
It's amazing that Fiona loves this particular character. It makes it very awkward when she says, "Well, that one's an old battle axe." I'm like, "Yes, Fiona, she's a battle axe."
I really.
Where did I come up with her?
Have a listen to it. We'll be reminding them with promos throughout the week of when it's on. I had to pull over the car because they sent them to me to have listened to them, and you know I do an awful lot of driving, so I like to listen to different stuff.
Oh, you've heard
so
the? I didn't know you'd heard.
Well, I've only heard the first couple, so not really. I still have left myself the ending because I want to wait and see. So I've just listened to the first couple of them, but I had to pull over in the car and to ring Michael to tell him how good it was. And
you mean the episode?
Joe Dex, who did an amazing
job.
So
integral to this.
Brilliant job engineering and putting it all together.
We come up in the mornings.
I have allowed
them
to have credits. That's how good it is.
Yeah.
Instead of just having executive producer Fionnuala Rabbit, I have allowed him to have credits.
If this was a joke, I would laugh.
That's not a joke. It's not a joke. We still have time to change that character's name to Fionnuala in post. If you like her that much, we'd just call her Fionnuala.
So that's a play from Highland Radio written by Michael Letty. It's called Bally Glissane. What we're really looking forward to actually is your reflections on our own produced stuff as well. I know it's not our first rodeo, right? But I feel like this is the one this is the first time I've kind of taken an interest in, if that's so it's extra exciting for me.
Yeah, yeah. Sense. And you still don't know who did it. You don't know who did
drama.
It.
We haven't done a drama now in a lot, you know what yeah. I mean, of this scale. We do lots of different stuff, but this is just
I feel more emotionally attached.
Well, I think it's because it's something that we do lots of different audio and we do lots of different stuff, but this is the first time that we've done I think it's the first time that we've ever done a drama from scratch. You know, we
That's
did.
That's kind of where I was coming from. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
so
but yeah, I, no, yeah, we, yeah, yeah. I think it's the first time that we've ever done it for scratch. That we've written it for.
Well done, Fionnuala.
I know. I've been
well
amazing.
Done. Those late nights that you were there at my elbow.
All right, we've flogged amazing. It. We've flogged it enough. There's
and you still don't know who did it.
Well.
Yeah. You don't know who did it.
Wednesday night after 8 p.m. a 7-episode drama, and hopefully it really grabs your attention. As Fionnuala said too, it's a little bit of a throwback. We don't see as much of it as we did in the past, but it's great for us to be doing it here. Some guys watching us from America, quite literally his name, talking about nostalgia. Prairie Home Companion is his favourite show. I think it's a bit of an old school radio show that is now defunct, if I'm not mistaken, but still appeals to some. Right, you're tuned to the 9 till noon show. You're tuned to That's Entertainment. We've got Michael Leddy here. We have got Fionnuala Rabbit here. It's been a really interesting, diverse show so far, and we're looking forward to more of that. So stay where you are. Let us know what you're doing for the weekend, what's making you happy, anything like that at all. We want you to contribute whatever you want to this part of the program, because it's just a time for us to maybe ease off a little bit for the more serious things in life, unless Michael Leddy watches a concert or listens to a controversial podcast. back after these. If we are using whatever apps we're using or streaming services, Spotify, Netflix, wherever it might be, we have passwords. Right. And we as web users are dicing with online disasters, by the way, by using easily guessed passwords for our emails, social media accounts and all that kind of stuff. Right. So I've got Ireland's top 20 passwords here. You probably heard this already. OK, what would you believe the number one password in Ireland is, Michael?
Please don't let it be password.
Oh, no, I'd say it's not even password. I'd say it's just
unfortunately,
pass.
Unfortunately, password is number two.
I would have thought it's just
no,
pass.
No, people will forget that.
Oh no! To be
zero,
honest,
zero,
actually,
zero.
Somebody set up a system for me here, and said to me, called me and said, "Oh, I've that set up for you now on your computer, and the password is pass. Do you want to get a pen?"
Right, like, the Ireland's top,
they know you well.
Ireland's top password is 123456.
Of course.
Now the third password is one I thought I was clever. I had it in the past. QWERTY123. Right, because it's the top, the top across the top, and then 1, 2, 3. I used to have QWERTY123. Liverpool, but that Liverpool's number 4. QWERTY1, they're catching you out there. That's number 5.
Oh, somebody didn't even think in there.
Number 6. This is the 6th most popular one, because they're not as stupid as the ones with number 1. Theirs is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Which in a way might be hard to crack. I don't know. Liverpool 1, Ireland 12345 is number 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is number 13. ABC 123 is 14. Again, password with a capital P, password 1 is 15. But what I think is hilarious, right, is password with a capital P is 16. And password with a lowercase p is 2. You know, this is us thinking. And then Arsenal, Football and Champion make up the final 3. So those are the passwords.
I feel much better about myself. None of them. I've never used any of those.
Yeah, so
no, I've never used any of those, but it's depressing. It's depressing. I spend a lot of time.
But they're the top passwords. They're not the top bad passwords. They're the top passwords.
Top passwords. Yeah,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Right, I was going to ask listeners to let us know, but they might feel uncomfortable divulging the password,
and
it might be irresponsible.
Yeah.
I send your old ones, and is
old
that
ones,
you?
Yeah.
Greg, what's the story with the penguin? I have it saved in my favourite show on my Fire Stick app. The question is, should I bother watching it? Is it good, or is it just The Godfather or Sopranos set in Gotham? We may have already discussed this before. I'm sure in the downtime upstairs in that little room with Joe Dex, the word penguin has come up. He thinks it's fantastic.
He thinks it's the best thing ever.
But
he
also thinks some crap is the best thing to do, which kind of worries me.
Well, I have to say my tastes and Joe's tastes are very closely aligned. We do like a lot of the same things.
You haven't started Penguin yet?
No, that's just a time. These last few months, Fionnuala has been so busy writing that show that I didn't have time to watch TV for some reason.
Fionnuala, did you?
Maria Rush loved it.
I'm like that listener now.
Yeah, Maria Rush, I saw her rave about it.
I have it. And you know the way I sort of saved it, like, oh, I'm going to watch it. And then suddenly it was second episode and third, and they're all sort of sitting there to watch. I don't know what it is about it. I need somebody to tell me it's worth putting the effort into it.
Fionnuala, were you crazy about the Batman film where the Penguin first appeared? Because I wasn't, and that has kind of coloured my
eyes. To me, and I think this sister hits on it. Sometimes
I don't think it's.
Do you know, like, regular stories, but in unusual environments? Now, it could be on a spaceship, it could be outer space, it could be in Gotham or whatever. If I want to watch something like that there, I don't need the prosthetics and the stuff. Just give me the story in a sort of relatable environment. But listen, we have a fantastic mass population out there listening to us that will let us know, and I'm sure many have. Have you watched The Penguin? Should this listener delete it from their favourite show on their Fire Stick app, which I presume is Sky One or whatever it is? me asking about should people divulge the passwords.
Anyway,
there you go. Okay, Sky Atlantic, exactly, that's it. Let us see. What do you want to talk about first on your list, please, Fionnuala?
Yesterday, this show dropped on Disney, and I know not everybody has it, but a few people may have.
You can always do the sub. You can always use an email address and have a look at it, see if it's your ting.
That's it, absolutely, and just check it out and see. But this is an interesting one, and again, I suppose interesting for me. I didn't really know too much about it until I started watching it. But it's called Say Nothing. It dropped yesterday. They dropped all of the episodes together. It's based on a book that I personally didn't really know anything about. It was a book that was 6 weeks on the bestseller list. And it is really the story of a particular time within the IRA. And in particular, it focuses on Dolores, which I always thought her name was Dolores. As in, but it's Dolores Price,
right.
One of the Price sisters. And it seems to be, I'm only halfway through it now because there is 9 episodes, which I have to say, they've gone mad for these uneven number of episodes. It just freaks me out. But it hits my OCD in a really bad spot. But I'm halfway through this. I've just finished episode 4 of it because I sat down to watch 1 or 2 just to see, and I really wanted to watch Bad Sisters, which has landed. But in the end, I kind of got sucked into the Say Nothing and ended up 4 episodes in. Maxine Peake plays an older Dolores Price, and then there's Tom Von Lawler, and he plays another gentleman who's Brendan, I think his name is, but obviously his name escapes me. And it's kind of about their journey in through the IRA, which was like started in the early 70s, while alongside it talks about the disappeared, and Jean McConville's disappearance is a big one in it. This is both of the characters that are played in this have at one point or another, I think, stated themselves that they were involved in her disappearance in some way. It seems to be, and obviously I've never read the book, but what it's kind of loosely based around is, if you remember, the Boston College tapes. So the Boston College tapes, for anybody that does know out there, and I'm sure I'm preaching to the converted, but they were, it was a project that went on with the Boston College, obviously in America, in which they spoke to longstanding, well-known members of the Irish paramilitary organisations on the understanding that none of the tapes would be released until anybody mentioned within the tapes had passed away. And it was supposed to be kind of like creating an oral history, that even though this was in lots of ways a terrible time in Irish histories, it was still part of Irish history, and the background and the interpersonal connections to people would be lost unless there was some sort of a record done. So it became a very kind of a controversial thing, I think, controversial with people outside the organisations, with police, with, you know, the legal authorities. It also became controversial within these paramilitary or ex-paramilitary organisations. But many people engaged in it, and this is some of the stuff that has come out of it. What it does is it talks to the supposed characters today, which is where you have Maxine Peake and Tom Vaughan lawyer. And then it goes back and it actually kind of dramatizes it with some fantastic...
So there's a mix then, is there?
Yes, it goes back and forth. So they kind of like start off with saying, they say to Matt, well, do you remember the night of?
Yeah.
And then she starts talking and then it goes back.
But
then,
it's a full production.
And it's dramatization. Dramatized. Yes, and there's some amazing young actors in it now. I looked them up to see if I'd seen them in anything else. And to be honest, I hadn't. There's a lot of young actors and some very good accents in it. So I'm assuming a lot of them were from Ireland and from the Belfast area. There's some great actors in it. It definitely engages you in. It's so terrible because obviously terrible things were done, but then it's spoken about so kind of naturally by the people, you know, that this was just their day to day and this was their lives and their beliefs and their different things.
If you watch that documentary about the Brighton bombing, wasn't that the Conservative?
Yes.
I mean, it's all matter of fact. The key players in it, maybe I don't know if it's the passing of time or they believe they were fully justified in what they did, but it's just talked very matter of fact. There seems to be a particular focus, and by the way, I should say this show, Say Nothing, has an amazing reviews, 5-star reviews, and all that kind of stuff. Is it focused on women's roles in the Troubles?
As much as I thought it was. The way it was advertised was I thought it was something different. Because to be honest, a lot of stuff have come out about the women's roles in the Troubles, and some of it has been making very uncomfortable. And it's not even about necessarily the roles that they played, but things that were done to them and how they had to keep quiet about it. And, you know, we all know different stuff that has come out. And I thought that's where it was going. But it's very much focused on... It appears that Dolores Price and her sister Marion were one of the first women that really became involved, that stepped out of the common and became involved more in a boots on the ground type of thing, for lack of a better phrase, within the IRA. And she comes across as a very intelligent woman, Dolores. She could have been doing anything with her life. She could have gone to college, but they were on a peace march, believed in it being peaceful. And then from what the piece seems to say, with the collaboration of the police, they were attacked. And that's what kind of pushed them over to the other side. They obviously came from a very famous Republican family as well at the time. Their father was a well-known Republican. And that's what leaned them in more the kind of direct action and that type of a thing. It's very slowly going through it. We haven't gotten as far as London yet. But there's something very raw about it, very harrowing about it. But, you know, the kind of realism of the way they're just kind of talking about it and even sort of joking and laughing while, you know, like she talks about how one of her jobs was to kind of drive people that were in trouble to, you know, destinations where she knew the fate that they were going to meet. And knew them personally, knew these people on a personal basis, had worked with them, had grown up with them, had known them all her life. So there's a real kind of a rawness about it. And there's also a terrible sadness about it. You know, when you start looking at these people, they never really managed to get out of it.
Yeah,
you know, it's something that kids really plus in it, Gerry Adams features highly in it, while after every show, which in the end it gets to be a bit of a joke because he's in it, he's portrayed in it as a young person, and he's portrayed...
He contributes to it actually himself?
Oh, no. Okay. No, he's... There's a portrayal of him in it. Right. As a young person, he's portrayed as being part of, and yet every episode ends with he has stated that he is not a member, and he's... And you're kind of like, this is reaching crazy.
I mean, it's been clearly articulated why that's what he says, you know, even by local TDs here, because of the consequences if he said something else.
Yes.
Right, okay, so that's... It sounds really fascinating because obviously you've got the raw audio, you've got the dramatisation, and you've got the characters that you know it's based on a true story, I'm intrigued. This is going to be my next watch for sure once the dark's over.
Yeah, there's just something
about
it.
That was a great review. That was a great review as well. No,
there's
really,
just something about
seriously.
It that really kind of drags you into, you know, as I said, I wanted to watch one or two, kind of sat down to, and I said, well, I'll just watch, you know, just so that I had an idea, because I did think it was more about women and what women's roles were.
Well, the trailer would make you believe that.
And I thought it was going to be different women's stories or, you know, I didn't really associate it with even a real woman. You know what I mean? I had kind of thought from the trailer that it was going to be, you know, a dramatization of roles that women had throughout the Troubles. But it actually isn't that. And there's just something kind of gripping about it that, and some amazing actors in it.
All right, let's just hear, just to give you a sense of it, we'll just hear a little bit of the trailer here, providing there's no swears in it.
This is all anonymous, yeah?
You can say anything.
My mother and father were both proud members of the Irish Republican Army.
Have I told you girls how to make explosives?
It was quite a happy childhood.
So there we're getting a sense of what you were talking about. I just wanted to give the listener an idea of the blend of a person relating their life, and then it's switching to the drama. Brilliant. Okay, we shall see. I'll look forward to watching that myself. It's called Say Nothing, Maxine Peake and others, and it is available now on Disney, and it's been incredibly highly rated by recognisable reviewers, not least our own Fionnuala, who's slightly disadvantaged in that you're not fully the way through it yet, are you?
No, I'm only halfway through it, yeah, because in fairness, I was up way
too late. That's remarkable, because it dropped yesterday.
I know. I have been, I went...
Kind of, if we're going to be honest about what we watch and when we watch it, we don't timeline it like that.
No,
the listener
no,
might
I
just think
oh, no,
she has exclusive access to it and has been watching it for 6 months. Isn't that right?
I wish I definitely would have had it. No, I went down to visit my nieces and nephews, and they showed that affection by giving me the stomach virus. So I have been floored all week and been able to watch anything.
All right,
so I was delighted when this grabbed my attention.
Okay, so that's Say Nothing. We'll be back to Say Plenty after these. Greg, Say Nothing is brilliant on Disney. I'm on the third episode. It's based on this true story about the Troubles, which came in as you were speaking. Greg, tell Fionnuala to watch Bodkin if she hasn't already. Quite a good murder mystery set in a Cork village about a podcaster searching for a missing woman.
Yeah.
That's already done. Just tuning in, has the panel spoke about Yellowstone yet? New episode last Sunday. Now, the one thing it's important to try and relate to listeners is that we are here having a chit-chat, but we really want to hear from you. So whether we've watched it or not, you tell us, did it kick off as you hoped it would? Are you happy with it? What did you think about it? How excited are you about
the next
episode?
It's the final series, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's supposed to be the final series.
So we can't watch everything. So we're relying on you to give recommendations to other listeners as well as to what to listen to, watch, or to go and attend. You liked Bodkin?
Oh, Bodkin was very good. It's a really interesting kind of story. Again, really quirky characters in it. If you remember, we did it before. It's kind of set in a village and everybody in the village is half-cracked. And, you know, this woman comes in from London and she's, you know, better than the story, if you know what I mean. She's a better journalist than that, but she's in trouble away. So she's, and then an American guy comes over as well that's looking into it. It's very good, really quirky. Love, great kind of show.
All right, would you like a great night out next Friday, the 22nd of November? It is in the beautiful surrounds of the great Northern Hotel in Bundoran, and it's Neve Breach Football Club that are organising it. Is a fundraiser, and it's an Oscars night. Sounds very exciting, doesn't it? And it's not incredibly expensive to go and watch and support the club for what you get. Pete Walsh of Neve Breach joins us on the phone now. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Right, this really is a night out with a difference. Doors open next Friday in the Great Northern Hotel at 7 p.m. So talk to us about this Oscar awards then. Is it to give us that sort of Hollywood night out with some familiar faces and a bit of crack?
Absolutely, Greg. Yeah, look, it's going to be a fantastic night out. Certainly, you know, with the characters we've involved in it and managed to pull into it, it's one not to be missed, you know. So basically, look, we've up on 80 plus people reenacting 7 different movies, you know. I haven't seen how well they've all been put together, but I'm very intrigued to see how it goes with the characters involved, you know.
So it's a good crowd. These are people that from the community, from the general area. They've been split up into groups and they recreate famous scenes from certain films. It could be, I suppose, anything from... it could be anything from Derry Girls to Taken, that kind of stuff, isn't it? And the crack is in.
Yeah.
They're recreating these scenes. They're doing a fantastic job and putting a lot of time into it, but it is local people out of their comfort zone. So there's the element of entertainment in that regard there too.
Absolutely, yeah. Look at it. And look at where we've been most grateful to the people that have come forward in addition for these roles, you know. I'm kind of involved in one of myself and completely out of my comfort zone, so I get where everybody was at the start.
Can you tell us the character you were playing, or is that a secret on the night, Pete? I don't know. Is there something secret?
Well, look, I'm involved in, I'll say where I'm involved in the Calendar Girls movie a great bunch of people, okay. You know.
Please tell me you're behind the camera, not in front of it.
I won't let anything too much away, Greg. We'll let the embarrassment right. for the night, you know.
Okay,
but
look, so it was get a sense of the crack.
Yeah, it was a great experience on my behalf, and I think from chatting to the majority of the cast members, they're similar to myself. You know, they were kind of the first night or two, they were kind of curious and nervous and all emotions, you know. But they've been kind of thankful now in a way that they've been involved, you know.
I'd say so, right? So the movies are showing themselves. That starts at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7, so you can have a couple of lemonades beforehand. There's a red carpet. It gives that sense of the Oscars ceremony. To play on that, right? You don't have to dress up in your tux and what have you, but why not? If you go into it, dress up for crying out loud. And then after the awards, which will be good crack in and of themselves, there's a dance into Saturday with DJ Marty. Now, it's strictly over 18s, and tickets are still available, because as I say, I know obviously there'll be great support amongst the Neve Breach community, but you know, we all have to back each other, don't we, the various members of various clubs. And you don't even have to have any interest in football at all to go out and have a great night out by the signs of it, Pete.
Absolutely, Greg. Look, it has got good traction and interest coming in from around, obviously, in our community and surrounding communities. And look, there is still limited tickets available. They are moving, so I would urge anybody interested to come and have a great night out, a laugh, and just to go for it, you know. It's going to be a fantastic night, you know, in fairness.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. I think I'm heading down there as well, and it's going to be just a great night. There's absolutely no doubt about that, and Oscars will be given out in the night, and the crack will be great as well. And it's just really fun to see people out of their comfort zone, but done so to a high production level. Where can people get tickets, Pete?
They can buy them online on our website, or they can contact any. We have out through social media there, you know, so they can contact any of us, including myself. So reach out to us, and the link's there online on our Neve Breach page as well, if it's handier that way, or, you know, whatever way possible.
We'll share it too on our socials, which it might be easier for people. All right, take care, Pete.
Appreciate it, Greg. Thank you for your time.
Good luck. That's next Friday night in the Great Northern Hotel Bundoran. Maybe you're listening from the South Donegal area, or maybe you're in Derry or Tyrone and you're heading down to Donegal Town or Bundoran, as many of you do each weekend. It'll be good fun, a good night out. Hi, guys. I'm looking forward to Michael's play, as there's another Donegal drama called Cra on TG Cahir. I've it taped to watch later. Yep. Has anyone caught up with The Penguin, as the finale was on Sunday? It was a slow but mostly interesting watch and had a familiar face, Michael Kelly, who was interviewed by a young Greg Hughes on a Saturday magazine show. Where is he now? Ooh, that's going back to Weekend Edition, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know these things and other people do. By the way, did Fionnuala try for Robbie Williams this morning as I logged into the app? And had a 6-minute wait. He's playing a concert.
No, I have to say, I'm a big Take That fan. And when Robbie Williams,
Take That.
When Robbie Williams left Take That, I was going to ring the chat line, but my sister wouldn't let me because I was 25 and it was only for teenagers. She said no, even though I was very upset about it. And I have not forgiven him.
Okay. Well, it was sold out by 9:05.
I know.
And it was on sale for €295. And a partner cited €355.
Olivia Rodrigo I tried to get and didn't, if anybody has them and wants to sell them to me.
I already had low expectations and now it was confirmed. All right, Kevin, thank you very much for that. More with Michael and Fionnuala after these. Right, okay. Big things on tonight. Mike Tyson's fighting Jake Paul. That's on Netflix. Netflix's first major show. Don't really care about that. But Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano, they're having a rematch. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'll watch
that. Is that live?
It's live on Netflix, yeah.
Oh,
Katie Taylor's due to fight around about 2:30. You don't have to pay anything extra. It's part of your Netflix. It's part of your Netflix package. But we were talking earlier on about concert tickets. Some people are paying $2 million for an MVP owner experience, which includes a ringside suite against the ring at the AT&T Stadium. It's a three-day experience, so it's too late to buy it now. So you get that ringside apron seat, four front row seats, a post-fight in-ring experience with a photo opportunity, and the buyers get a private VIP entrant to all events. They get a two-night stay at the Lowe's Arlington Hotel and a private VIP green room on fight night featuring an open bar and all-inclusive menu. Wow, $2 million, open bar, wow. And you get a dedicated host concierge.
Never.
A personal security escort will be on hand for the duration of the event. $2 million, fools
Never
of money.
Never have the
easy.
Words more money than sense made.
Also, too, that's off the back of people paying. One of the reasons I wouldn't go to see Robbie Williams, because what annoys me about people that you pay massive money in to do is when, you know, he's up there, he'll get into Angels, everyone's waiting for him to sing Angels, right? The high notes are coming, so he's going to pop the earpiece out, stick his microphone out, and nod at the audience as they sing the song, right? Now, Robbie, if I've paid €295, bloody sing, son. That's all I'm saying. Stick your earpiece back in, switch your mic on, and sing it yourself. His experience of listening to 80,000 people singing his song, indulging himself to avoid the high notes, does my plantain.
I know. I can't do... a friend of mine once gave me his biography written by a guy from Rolling Stones, and it's supposed to be like the quintessential biography. I was going away on holidays and she gave me the book. I came back. Before I'd even emptied the suitcase, I walked down to her house. I threw the book in the letterbox with a little note saying, I'm afraid I cannot speak to you for X number of days because I was so mad reading the book, I wanted to get on the plane, fly to Los Angeles and give him a clip around the ear and say, cop yourself on there, pet. Cop yourself on. He's very self-indulgent.
But you've totally forgiven him for leaving Take That.
Oh. Not over it, but he's very...
Did another one leave Take That?
No, that was fine. That was later on.
Right, okay. But you're okay with that?
Well, he broke up the whole band entirely, you see. And then when they came back together, then they came back as a four. But now they're a three-piece.
Right, oh, Jason Orange, is he
Jason
gone?
Jason Orange,
he's gone.
Yeah, right. But that's fine because Howard is my favourite anyways.
Really? Howard's your favourite? Isn't that strange? Okay.
It's ageing lovely.
Yeah, no, it's always good to see someone who's not really necessarily what you might class the front of the band being.
I have no idea. I always like the drummers.
Yeah, I love drummers as well.
Well, Howard is
but probably for different reasons than you, perhaps. Right, okay. Let me see. Talk about Bad Sisters 2. I know you've done one, right?
Yes.
But you flogged it to death.
Yes.
And also Bad Sisters, a lot of people are interested in that. So Bad Sisters 2's out now. I've watched the first two episodes of the first Bad Sisters.
Oh, it's so good.
I didn't
good.
Continue. I might pick it up again in a bit.
Yeah. But I definitely recommend it.
You haven't seen Bad Sisters 2 yet?
No, Bad Sisters 2 is just out. So I've watched the first episode of it because I just wanted to get an idea of what was going on with it. My intention was to sit down and watch it. They've dropped the first two episodes of it and then they'll be moving on then.
One a week, is it?
Yeah, then they got to one a week.
Apple do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've watched this first one and I'll probably leave it a couple of weeks and then kind of get a little bulk together. Basically, if anybody's watched Bad Sisters 1, they'll understand, and even you after watching the first one, it starts off with a funeral. And then it kind of unfolds as to how and when and this funeral came about. And that's what the first series is about. And it, you know, it leaves things all tied up nicely. And you're kind of like, oh, well, that was really well done. Sharon Horgan adapted it from, I think it was like Swedish, but I could be wrong. It's somewhere in the Netherlands anyways, like that kind of place where it was originally written.
And really? I thought it was Irish. Okay.
No, she adapted it for Irish audiences and whatever, but it was actually written for Finn or Danish, something like that, television over that part of the world. No, but they do a lot of that kind of dark drama, you know, the way, and real character driven. But it was so good. The guy that played John Paul, that played the brother-in-law in it, oh my God, he was so horrendous. And then the five women that played the sisters, I have four sisters, so there's five of us, and we spent all our time talking about who was who.
I think anyone with sisters did the same.
Exactly. Yeah. It was kind of figuring out who was who in their family. So it was
Of the characters just not over the whole take that thing?
No, lots of other issues. But there's... when she said she was doing the second one, I think a lot of people were nervous because they enjoyed it so much, and it did round it all off. We come back to the sisters. Time has moved on slightly. We ended... the first series,
because I don't really feel like cutting you off here.
No, I know. Well, I don't want to feel like people did. I don't want to tell people what happened.
No, don't. That's why I feel like cutting you off.
Yeah, in this one, what they've done is they've taken the storyline and they've moved it forward. And the question now is if you watch the previous one, at one point, and it doesn't ruin anything, John Paul throws a suitcase into a river. And in this, the suitcase is suddenly found. So it opens up a whole mesh of things between the sisters.
Was there a second series? Do you know if there's a second series?
No, my understanding
originally?
Is not. Right, there was so not. Because, with a lot of those kind of the dramas that they have there, they kind of do like a lot of one-off things.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it?
No, so this is something that they've taken, that she's done herself and moved forward.
Okay.
But there's some great actresses in it and there's some good characters. So
Bad Season 2, that's on Apple. Any plans for the weekend, Fionnuala? Anything exciting coming up?
No, well, we have the Letterkenny Chamber Ball. Tonight, the Chamber Ball is tonight. So congratulations to Claire McDonough. This is her presidential ball that's on tonight. So very exciting for that. And I think we probably need to check out the cinema later on. We did go and see Paddington.
It was Paddington.
We saw in the Eclipse. Really forgot to say.
Love the Eclipse so much. Love that cinema. Love the experience. Love chatting to Louise. Love that place.
It was Paddington next, and that's what you wanted.
It was Paddington. Place,
yeah. What's your plans for the weekend briefly,
sleep.
Michael?
A lot of sleep. God, I need to get sleep. I'm not even joking. You know that I'm not joking.
Can
I just
really
need.
I can't do
every,
that.
Every weekend we've been away with the play and stuff. This weekend I'm just going to.
Do you think you'll really sleep though?
Yes. Okay. I will sleep.
I hope you treasure being able to.
I'll sleep.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you very much, Fionnuala. Really appreciate it. We'll chat to the two next week. But that's where we leave it on the show for this Friday and for this week. Thanks for listening, for watching and being involved in any way you were. We will be back on Monday morning, God willing, all bright and early. So for now, stay safe, stay tuned.